school.
Women's?
Yes, correct.
And how are we going to?
Perhaps if Mr. Brennan starts off, and then Mr. Baxter, and then we take my summary.
State Highway 6, which I've worked on in my role with the construction of the new bridge, and also land on the south side of Winter Road on the Furhead, Ritchie and Mead properties. Examination of aerial photographs and satellite images, and review of previous geoconsulting reports on properties to the south and west. Geomorphology and geology. The subject area lies on a degraded terrace remnant on foot slopes of Peninsula Hill. There's a central gully which divides the subdivision, falling between lots 8 and 9, with the second drainage line passing through the eastern parts, somewhere between lots 1 and 3, with little surface expression. There's only ephemeral flows expected on these watercourses. Just bedrock underlies the hillside, but the only outcrops in the subdivision are on the north side of lots 5 and 6. Elsewhere, rock is exposed near the crest of the hill and intermittently along the south side of Lynch Road and either side of State Highway 6 below lots 11 and 14. Rock is suspected of underlying the eastern part of the subdivision at shallow depths and possibly the western part as well. A large and very old landslide extends from just below the eastern peak of Peninsula Hill to more or less the level of Peninsula Road in the vicinity of the western part of the subdivision, but to lower levels further out to the east. The downslope extent is difficult to determine as the last slopes are blanketed by colluvium. Colluvium is derived from erosion of the loose landslide debris to the east and the rock cliffs to the west. The sand and gravel material was transported downslope, initially by gravity and remobilised by rainfall runoff to be deposited on the lower, flatter slopes. There are exposures of colluvium immediately above and below the road, which clearly show water-laid deposits. And finally, lurs, which is a wind-deposited silty fine sand that caps the colluvium deposits on lower slopes. Road widening associated with new bridges' southern approaches have exposed a suite of glacial and post-glacial sediments, till lake sediments, deltaic sediments. It is likely that these sediments extend back upslope and underlie colluvium in the vicinity of the proposed subdivision. Turning now to hazards as shown on the QLC web map hazards register. This register identifies broad categories of hazards based on some interpretation and generalisation centred around knowledge of the underlying material type. I stress here, it is a very generalised register of hazards. It's not complete or accurate by any means. The proposed subdivision occupies a transition area between several known hazards whose boundaries have not been clearly defined. The hazards recognised as affecting this area are landslide areas. This is a large act, it's just debris landslide. Then there's another landslide area. This is the one that affects the Mead property, but was in fact found to be non-existent. There's another landslide area between the subdivision and State Highway 6 lower down. And another zone which they call landslide area, susceptible to rockfalls, liquefaction risk, and debris flow has a letter. It's not actually shown on the hazard register, but it's one which I've identified and included here. So looking at the various landslide hazards, the large landslide identified on the web map and confirmed by mapping is comparable to many others around Central Otago Lakes District. The bulk of the landslide appears to terminate above the road, however, later depositions of colluvium have mostly obscured the tow. Some large blocks have attained greater mobility and moved further downslope of the tow. Fieldwork found no evidence for activity, and the adjacent property, 48 Peninsula Road, has not been subject to disturbance since its occupation in the 1970s. I have concluded the landslide is dormant, that it's not currently active, and unlikely to have been active in historical times. Mr. Charlie Watts, acting on behalf of QLDC, has recommended further investigations and stability analyses to inform the planning approval process. Since my earlier report, the total landslide has been defined more clearly and it no longer appears to extend down its area of interest. Accordingly, I don't believe further investigations into landslide stability would be either necessary or meaningful. For the landslide to be a threat, it would have to move some 25 metres across Peninsula Road to reach the property boundary and about another 15 to 20 metres to reach the lot's boundary. Such mobility does not seem plausible given that very old pre-existing landslides are considered to be resilient to all but major earthquakes. There would have been a number of seismic events in the many millennia since emplacement, and yet no evidence exists for disruption of the glacial or post-glacial sediments which blanket the lower slopes. My opinion is that during severe earthquake shaking, the threat from landslide reactivation is likely to be non-existent to mine compared to the threat of structural damage to any building from the shaking itself and the rockfall damage, which I'll discuss below. No evidence was found for the landslide area. This is a non-verified, as described in the hazards register, which lies upslope of lots 1 to 8. Mapping revealed a series of contiguous rock outcrops separated by pockets of shallow soil overburden. It was concluded no such landslide threat exists. No evidence was found for any instability in fine-grained soils in the slopes below lots 9 to 19. An active landslide is known some 100 metres to the east of the subdivision, which extends between Peninsula Road and State Highway 6, but no signs of failure are known in the area of interest. Road widening associated with the southern approaches to the new Culverdale Bridge has exposed rock in the central part flanked by fine-grained sediments. Sections of cut slope considered to be susceptible to instability have been supported by caving basket retaining walls, which have been designed to resist failure. There is thus no extant threat to the proposed subdivision slopes. Rockfalls. Numerous large blocks were noted in the area of interest, notably blocks 13 to 19. There may be other rocks which have escaped notice due to thick vegetation obscuring the ground. No rocks were found to the west in lots 1 to 8, which seems to be protected by topographical traps on the upper side of Peninsula Road. It is not entirely clear whether the blocks within lots 13 to 19 have derived from rockfalls or whether they have been transported there by landslide movement. Studies on properties upslope of Peninsula Road have led to the conclusion that rockfalls have occurred only sporadically and that there is no historical evidence for recent activity. The threat from rockfalls upslope of the road was seen as very low to extremely low. Furthermore, Peninsula Road will be expected to hold most, if not all, moving rocks, and thus the threat to the proposed lots would also be similarly low. Additional protection in the form of a 2-metre-high reinforced earth bund could be constructed between the southern lot boundary of lots 11 to 19 and Peninsula Road. There's already quite a buffer zone between the lots and Peninsula Road, and then there's the road reserve as well, so there's plenty of room in which to construct such a bund. Liquefaction hazard. There is none, I'll just skip that. Debris flow hazard assessment. Debris flow deposits were noted in the gully flanks between lots 8 and 9, indicating large volumes of sediment have been mobilised and deposited as a fan other side of the watercourse below the road. Since deposition, the stream has downcut through this fan and is now incised some 5 to 8 metres below the fan surface. The absence of large-scale erosion on the hillside above suggests transport of debris is no longer an active process. Nevertheless, it would be prudent to construct some training abundance to ensure any debris flows are constrained within the gully and don't spread across into the neighbouring lots. Finally, suitability for development. Despite a number of potential hazards being identified on the QLDC hazard register, most are considered to not be relevant to the proposed subdivision. Rockfall and debris flow hazards have a very low to extremely low risk potential for the area of interest. Modest earthwork structures are recommended to mitigate this risk. With these recommendations in place, the area covered by the 19 lots is considered suitable for development.
Thank you.
Can I just clarify the your reference to various lots? Is this referring to Plan C and Mr. Baxter's attachment?
Yes, correct.
Right, so
that's what I've been
looking at. Yes. Okay, fine. Mr. Mumford, do you have any
questions?
No, I
don't. No, but I have a general one. Mr. Brown, the council's hazards register, does it get updated after people like you do your work?
No.
So this all, these you've found in ground truth.
I found additional hazards. I found
hazards
on the map, which I don't believe should be there, but there's no mechanism in place for updating and revising the register, which is possibly something that should be looked into.
I was just curious because I was thinking that if this land is rezoned at the next stage, you'll go around this again. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And the same occurs for the resource consent information.
Does it?
Right. Yes.
Oh,
we could have thought we'd lie. No, I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Chair, that's all that is required of me. May I be excused?
Do you know? Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Just looking at the first page, the introduction and the involvement of the project, even the attachments, I could move past those if you want to and start towards the bottom of the first page.
Yes,
I think that's okay with you.
Perhaps 7 is probably the right
place. Yeah. And I note that those attachments, I won't be referring to all of those, but they've just been included for reference. Yes. Through my evidence in the original submission, I discussed the existing landform character, the location of the proposed buildings, the design controls, and the effectiveness of those controls of mitigating effects on the outstanding natural landscape. I reviewed the statement of Dr. Reed and still consider that this area of land is located directly adjacent to an O&L boot out up in the Kawara River. I do acknowledge, however, that this portion of the land is located between an HDR zone, being the Kawara Falls development, where the Hilton is, and the recent subdivision, and an LDR zone, being the bulk of the lower parts of Kelvin Peninsula, or Deer Park Heights, as it's commonly known. To that end, I agree with the proposition put forward by Dr. Reed that, whilst the land is adjacent to an O&L, it is flanked by residential zoning, and given its scale, cannot be considered to be a rural landscape in its own right. The site occupies an area of approximately 6.69 hectares in size, and the land is located south of the existing Kawara Falls Bridge between Kingston Road and Peninsula Road. I can refer to the attachments if you like, but I assume that you're familiar with
the site. Yes.
The land is generally levelled directly adjacent to Peninsula Road and sloping down from those levels, from those level areas, sorry, to Kingston Road. At present, the site is heavily vegetated, covered in a mass of most exotic vegetation, including gum, sycamore, sweetbriar, gorse broom, and some indigenous plants. The landform towards the western corner of the site is generally flat in the vicinity of Peninsula Road, sloping gradually to the east. The landform directed west of Kingston Road is mostly steep and heavily vegetated. An informal car parking track is established approximately 100 metres from the western end of the site, linking by walkway up Peninsula Road and Kingston Road. The site is approximately 850 metres in length and approximately 120 metres in width, tapering down towards the eastern end of the site. Directly east of the site is a development known as Lake's Edge. No dwellings have been constructed on the land at the time of this report, although I understand that VATOM titles have been issued, and they were issued about 6 months ago. So for that. Directly across Peninsula Road, the site is an undeveloped residential lot and another lot with a dwelling, which I understand has been the subject here previous this week. To the west of that lot, and extending well above that lot, located central of the site, the lone land is zoned LDR. This zoning continues around towards the western end of Gilbert Peninsula, which you're familiar with. New Kawarra Falls Bridge is located to the east of the site. Now, currently in the construction phase, the new bridge is realigned to meet Kingston Road approximately 200 metres along the lower site edge from its western end. To that end, the western end of the site, once the new bridge is completed, will no longer face on the State Highway 6, but will now join a new walkway precinct with walking connections to the historic Kawarra Falls Bridge. The proposal sought to rezone the site to allow for offer the development of a mix of housing densities together with the establishment of a landscape protection area / buffer. The proposal was described in my original evidence and is shown on attachment A, and it can be summarised as such. Two areas proposed for purpose housing, one being 6,800 square metres and the other 1.5 hectares. The proposed zoning sort of mix of housing densities with smaller lots towards the western end and larger lots at the eastern end. And really that was just going from the high density, medium to low density, where it was. The design principle was actually watering it down, for want of a better word, as we move to the east, away from the village. 2 points of access from Peninsula Road, one to each housing area, with a public walkway link to it, to be established from Peninsula Road through to the site State Highway 6, linking the road with a pedestrian area being developed as part of the new Kawarra Bridge upgrade. A substantial landscape protection area to be retained for the purpose of mitigation and screening, and the retention of the existing road corridor character of both Peninsula Road and the State Highway, and also design controls which were attached to my original evidence. An indicative outline development plan was attached to my evidence showing a possible outcome for development. This indicated 8 residential lots in area L1 and 10 residential lots in area L2. My landscape assessment and my original evidence acknowledged that the landscape is one in transition, with HDR and LDR zonings flanking the site and the new Kawarra Bridge currently under construction. I also described the visual amenity of the site, in particular when viewed from existing residential areas east across the Kawarra River and from the State Highway, and concluded that the proposed development would not adversely affect the wider landscape amenity. I also considered the views from Peninsula Road dwellings and recommend a 10 metre buffer along the road edge and a 3 metre indigenous planter strip within the lot boundaries. My recommendation to put forward in order to preserve the gateway location of the site to the Kelvin Heights residential areas. Similarly, the number of accesses to future dwellings from Peninsula Road was restricted to 2 points. I considered views towards the site from the general Franklin residential areas and taking into account the size of the land to be retained as a landscape protection buffer and the proposed design controls, I considered that the visual amenity would remain largely intact. To that end, I considered that the proposed development on the site was appropriate, and given the substantial area of land to be retained as a landscape protection area, it was a well-considered appropriate bookend to the existing character of the wider surrounding landscape. Within the site, the proposed design controls are promoted a contiguous pattern of single-level, recessively coloured dwellings within a large vegetated and protected landscape, an outcome that would protect the existing amenity of the landscape. I've read the statement of Dr. Marion Reed in her Section 42A report, and sorry, there's a few typos, on regards to the submission. On her submission, Dr. Reed acknowledges that the rezoning of this land was considered appropriate. And Dr. Reed, however, goes on to note, in my opinion, the site could absorb both types of development, and the decision as to which type of zoning to apply should be made on basis other than landscape considerations. I note that I do not support the limited LDR development proposed in the Baxter plan, including and the submission, considering it to be an inefficient use of the site. And that's a novel situation I find myself in. I'm usually not quite as... you can assume where I'm coming from.
Normally the reverse.
Yes, well, sometimes the reverse itself. And we do agree quite often. My understanding of that statement by Dr. Reed is that the submission put forward by Lynn's for this land may well have been cautious in its approach. Dr. Reed acknowledges that the site may not easily fit the requirements of an ONL, and given the moderate natural character of the site and the zoning that abuts the site, the contribution, and this is her quote, and this is a bit from her report, the contribution it makes the wider ONL of Peninsula Road is limited. Peninsula Hill is limited. To that end, it may be appropriate to seek a wider medium-density residential zoning over the land. Taking the rest of her statement into account, I agree with that statement. I do, however, consider that there still may be justification from a landscape perspective to protect that steep escarpment adjoining the state highway as a buffer to the state highway. However, the areas submitted for housing could be extended. I would also consider that green space should be protected in the vicinity of the Peninsula Road State Highway intersection, which remains a gateway buffer to the entry to Kelvin Heights. So, summary, I'm following on then from my assessment of the development potential of the site and the statements of Dr. Reed. I consider that there are fundamentals in regard to this site that I recommend to the panel. They are: A, this site, whilst being located between zoned and consented development, is still nevertheless an important gateway landscape to both Kelvin Heights and Frankton and Queenstown. That there is an opportunity to increase the density and extent of development area on the site above that submitted. That should the panel see fit to recommend that the site is appropriate for future residential development, the edge of the site could still have a contiguous landscape buffer. That buffer on the state highway edge, the north edge, would maintain an escarpment on the south side of the state highway in a vegetated state, now providing a frame of river and planting on the approaches to the bridge. Similarly, a small buffer, say 3.5 metres, the planting buffer, could be accommodated on the Peninsula Road edge in contiguous plantings, and that should just be two gaps, because that's what's been submitted, for access to two residential areas. I also note that I'd say also that Mr. Bryan has recommended a small amount, and that will be included within. That will still fit and be planted as that natural edge. So that's my statement.
Thank you.
I do have just a question in a small way, and it's right in there somewhere, 32A. And you refer to an important gateway landscape to both Kelvin Heights and Frankton. I take it in that instance you mean landscape in a different way from you mean
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
An important gateway, it's a...
No, it's a landscape character.
Character,
yes.
Okay. No questions.
No.
Thank you. is my name is Scott Eckert. I'm a resource management planner with Southern Land Limited, and have been engaged by Land Information New Zealand to provide expert planning evidence in relation to their submission, submission 661. The following is a summary of my evidence in chief, which was pre-lodged on the 9th of June 2017. Since my evidence was lodged, Council has provided rebuttal evidence from Dr. Reid, Mr. Watts, Ms. Wendy Banks, Ms. Kimberly Banks. I have read Council's rebuttal evidence and will address relevant points within this summary. I've also had the benefit of the evidence and summaries of Mr. Baxter and Mr. Bryan in preparing my evidence in chief and this summary. The submission site comprises 6.7 hectares of land between Peninsula Road and Kingston Road at Franklin. The site is currently zoned rural general under the Optic District Plan, and while it falls within the proposed urban growth boundary, the site is zoned rural and identified as forming part of an outstanding natural landscape in the proposed district plan. In its submission, Lynn sought the realignment of the outstanding natural landscape line to follow the proposed urban growth boundary and the rezoning of the site as low density residential, subject to the inclusion of a structure plan and location specific provisions. As outlined in my evidence, I consider that relief sought generally aligns with the provisions of the National Policy Statement on Urban Development Capacity and is generally consistent with the provisions of the operative and proposed regional policy statements. I consider that the higher order and district-wide provisions of the proposed district plan, including the objectives and policies contained in the strategic direction, urban development, landscapes and natural hazards chapters, are appropriate, and I consider that the release sought will assist in achieving those objectives and policies. With regard to landscape effects, Mr. Baxter and Dr. Reid are in agreement that the ONL line can be realigned to follow the urban growth boundary, such that the submission site is removed from the ONL, and that the rezoning of the site is appropriate. Dr. Reid considers that from a landscape perspective, the site could accommodate a high density residential zoning, and that the proposed structure plan and location-specific provisions are unnecessary. I understand that Mr. Baxter generally agrees with Dr. Reid, but considers that provisions should be made to maintain landscape buffers along Peninsula Road in Kingston. I adopt the opinions of Dr. Reid and Mr. Baxter in this regard, and consider that from a landscape perspective, the submission site could accommodate a broader application of the low-density residential zone for a more intensive high-density residential zone. In terms of the provision of landscape buffers along Peninsula and Kingston Roads, I note that Mr. Bryan has recommended the formation of a 2 metre high protection bund along the Peninsula Road boundary of the site at the time land is developed, and I consider that such a protection bund could incorporate landscape planting to provide the buffer strip that Mr. Baxter recommends. In addition, I note that Kingston Road is a limited access road. And as such, access is unlikely to be available from the Kingston Road frontage of the site. I therefore consider that access constraints combined with the topography of the site as it joins Kingston Road may result in built development being set back from Kingston Road, with an appropriate landscape buffer being the likely result. In her rebuttal evidence, which relies on the evidence of Mr. Watts, Ms. Banks states that she considers that it has not been adequately demonstrated that rezoning the site would not significantly increase the risk of natural hazards, that hazards can be appropriately avoided or mitigated, or that mitigation can be provided on site. In a summary of evidence, Mr. Bryan has provided further detail on the nature and extent of natural hazards on and in the vicinity of the site, and the risk that those hazards are likely to pose to future development. In addition, Mr. Bryant has outlined some mitigation measures that could be undertaken on site. I adopt Mr. Bryant's opinions in this regard and consider that natural hazards do not pose a significant or unacceptable risk to development on the site, and that they can be appropriately mitigated on site at the time the land is developed. I do not agree with Ms. evening, Ms. Banks, in her opinion that the rezoning the submission site would set an expectation that a specific density of development could be achieved across the entirety of the rezoned area. Section 106 of the RMA provides council with the ability to consider natural hazards when assessing any subdivision, regardless of zoning, and this is specifically stated at 27.11 of the subdivision and development chapter of the proposed district plan. In addition, the low and high density residential chapters of the proposed district plan specifically draw attention to the district-wide chapters, which include chapter 28, natural hazards. Further, the low and high density residential rules trigger restricted discretionary activity consents for more than two residential units in the case of the low density residential zone and three residential units in the case of the high density residential zone. And in each case, the matters over which council's discretion is restricted to include the avoidance or mitigation of risks posed by natural hazards. I therefore consider that the proposed district plan appropriately acknowledges that parts of the residential zones may be subject to natural hazards, and hazards will be addressed at either subdivision or land use consent stage. Consequently, I consider that rezoning the submission site would not create an expectation that the entirety of the site would be developed to the full extent that the zoning provides. With regard to servicing, I know that Mr. Glasner does not oppose the relief sought by Linz, nor does he oppose the relief sought by Winton Partners, which seeks the rezoning of the submission site to a range of zones, including high-density residential or business mixed use. I therefore consider that servicing is not a constraint that should preclude rezoning of the submission site. In terms of access, Ms. Wendy Banks recommends that a traffic assessment be undertaken to assess the effects of additional traffic on the Peninsula Road and Kingston Road intersection. While a traffic assessment has not been undertaken, I consider that the relief sought by them for a more intensive zoning on the submission site is in the context of the existing zone development along Peninsula Road and Kingston Road to the southeast, unlikely to result in significant adverse effects on the Peninsula Road and Kingston Road intersection. I note that Ms. Banks did not raise similar concerns in relation to the MEES submission, which seeks to rezone land in the immediate vicinity of the submission site from low density to high density. While the submission of Linz sought the rezoning of the site as low density residential subject to the inclusion of a structure plan and location specific provisions, there has been discussion in the evidence of Dr. Reid and Ms. Banks as to whether the site would be more appropriately zoned high density residential. While Ms. Banks has moved away from this position in her rebuttal evidence, I understand that this is due to uncertainty around natural hazards and the extent to which the site would be developable. Based on the opinions of Mr. Bryan, I consider that natural hazards do not pose a significant risk to future development, and that any such risk can be appropriately mitigated on site without compromising the overall development of the land. I consider that the relief sought by Linz is not inappropriate. That being said, I consider that a less restrictive application of the low-density residential zone or rezoning high-density residential would result in a more efficient use of land within the urban growth boundary and assist in achieving the objectives of the NPS-UDC to a greater extent. Given that there do not appear to be landscape issues standing in the way of a more intensive zoning, and that natural hazards can be appropriately addressed, consider that the structure plan and location specific provisions put forward in the submission are unnecessary, and a more intensive zone would be appropriate, noting that the hazard mitigation and topographic and access constraints of the site are likely to achieve the outcome sought by Mr. Baxter at the time the land is developed. I consider that the submission of Winton Partners, which relates to the same site as the Linz submission, and sought rezoning to low density, medium density, high density, or business mixed use, and provides scope to apply a more intensive zoning to the site.
Could you
call
this question?
If we were to consider a more liberal form of zoning than Linda put forward, would it be appropriate to include a restriction area on that escarpment as was the back to the board?
I think that would be, and of course that would be appropriate or acceptable. I don't think it's essential, but I don't think it would be inappropriate to include.
Would that also be a means of achieving that landscaped entrance that Mr. Baxter was talking about?
Yes. A simplified structure plan could be included, and
I was just thinking of building a restriction area and might have the same thing, mightn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Thank you. That's short this week, wasn't it?